Marriage in the Lord's Way, Part 2, by Elder Cree L. Coford of the 70. Responses to commonly asked questions about preparing for a temple sealing. Kirsten and Tom, it was thoughtful of you to respond to my recent letter, ensigned June 1998, page 6. I will attempt to answer the various questions you raised and add a few thoughts of my own. You will recall that we earlier discussed many aspects of the Lord's way, including the physical and spiritual beauty of His home, why temple marriage is different, and what the sealing ordinance is, and the significance of the Holy Spirit of promise. Why should you marry in the temple? Tom, you mentioned that one of your friends couldn't see why you felt it was so important to have your marriage solemnized in the temple. I hope you took the opportunity to share parts of my earlier letter with him. You might find the following list of reasons useful in your future discussions. 1. Because God said so. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't know any other way to say it. It seems to me that the Lord has said, in about as many ways as it can be said, that there is only one way, His way. I don't know that those who would like to be saints of God need any reason other than that. 2. Because being sealed in the temple is the only way you can begin to qualify to A. have your marriage continue forever, B. have your family stretching in both directions from you joined together in a family organization forever, C. have the opportunity of eternal increase, D. have the opportunity one day to become like our Heavenly Father. 3. Because there are special blessings for which you qualify by having your marriage solemnized in the temple. These blessings flow out of your obedience and will continue to come as you continue to be obedient to your covenants. 4. Because it tells you a lot about your wife with whom you're going to be spending the rest of your life and all of eternity. A. She believes as you do and has the same spiritual goals you have. B. She has been obedient to the commandments of God and hence qualifies to be allowed to enter the house of the Lord. C. She is willing to make commitments to God, to you, and to herself that will lead to eternal life. 5. Because it serves as a great self-assessment for you as to your individual worthiness and commitment. What should you do to prepare to go to the temple? Preparing to go to the temple involves the obvious steps of living the commandments, fasting, and praying. Beyond the obvious, I recommend the following steps. I suggest you, 1. Carefully and honestly evaluate your level of obedience to God's commandments. To do that, find some place to be alone. I suggest you take a piece of paper and write down every commandment you have been counseled to live. Arrange those commandments in descending order, with the hardest for you to live on the top. Then, figuratively, look yourself in the eye and do an inventory on how you are doing on each of those items. I hope you will not stop that self-interview until you have committed yourself to full and total obedience. Then, go out and be obedient. All too often we get ourselves enmeshed in the process of trying to understand why God gave us a particular commandment. We want to rationalize. I don't know where that is more evident than in watching movies. Young people know that they should not watch R or X-rated movies, and yet, time after time I hear them say, "Well, it's only rated R because it's violent." What difference does it make why it is rated R? The fact is, a prophet of God has said not to go to R-rated movies. Ezra Taft Benson, to the Youth of the Noble Birthright, Ensign, May 1986, page 45. That ought to be good enough. There is no substitute for obedience. Obedience has been described as the first law of heaven, and the longer I live, the more convinced of that I become. I never cease to thrill at the story of Helaman and his stripling warriors told in the Book of Mormon. Even though 2,060 of the young men fought most desperately, Alma chapter 57, verse 19, in battle, not one lost his life. What everyone may not know is that they qualified for this mighty miracle by their obedience. Their leader Helaman says of them, "They did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness." Alma chapter 57, verse 21. 2. Using the topical guide in the LDS Scriptures, read and ponder the references under Endowment, Marriage, and Temples. 3. Seek to find out as much as possible about the temple from published sources. In that regard, I would particularly recommend the following. A. The Holy Temple by President Boyd K. Packer. B. Ensign, February 1995, pages 2 through 5 and 32 through 51. C. New Era, June 1971, February 1987, and March 1997. 4. Participate in a stake-sponsored temple preparation class. Every stake or district in the church has, or should have, a program designed to review with every person going to the temple for the first time various items of information which have been made available from church headquarters. Usually, this is done on a stake-wide or district-wide basis by someone designated by the presiding authority. The resource material provides great help. 5. Seek to focus yourself spiritually so you are spiritually prepared when you enter the temple. In this way, the techniques of instruction used in the temple will be more understandable to you, and you will be thrilled by the depth and beauty of the teachings you will experience. Why do you need a recommend to go to the temple? As both of you already know, you are required to obtain authorization from your bishop and your stake president before you're allowed to enter the house of the Lord. If you qualify, they will issue you a temple recommend. Before they issue that recommend, they will each interview you thoroughly. They will ask you a series of questions from which you and they will make a determination as to your readiness to enter the house of the Lord. Among other things, those questions will deal with testimony, integrity, chastity, faithfulness in living various commandments, personal habits, and affiliations. Your bishop will be happy to review these with you. Set up an early interview with your bishop or branch president to review the temple recommend questions and to ensure you can honestly and properly answer each of those questions. In that way, if a change of conduct or repentance will be required, you will be able to discuss it with your bishop or branch president in adequate time to allow it to occur before seeking a recommend. Occasionally, someone will want to know why you have to have a temple recommend to get in the temple. The following thoughts may help you answer the question. 1. First, once you enter the temple, you are expected and required to live the covenants you will make there. If you have any doubt about your willingness or ability to live those covenants, then my counsel is that you wait to go to the temple until you don't have any doubts. One scripture which deals with this is Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 3. Therefore prepare thy heart to receive and obey the instructions which I am about to give unto you. For all those who have this law revealed unto them must obey the same. If you understand that scripture, you begin to understand why the Lord has set sentries at his doors for the protection of those who would unwittingly enter in and become subject to living covenants which they are not prepared to live. Thus, in a real way, the temple recommend is an indication of the Lord's love for his children, a measure to ensure our readiness to attend the temple. The temple recommend interview allows us to evaluate ourselves and determine whether or not we are prepared to undertake the covenants that we will make. When a recommend is not issued, far from indicating the person has been rejected, it is in reality an expression of caring concern for the unprepared. 2. A second reason is suggested by several scriptures, one of them recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, verse 20. No unclean or unworthy thing shall be permitted to come into thy house to pollute it. This and similar verses place a commandment upon those who are administratively responsible to safeguard the temples that no unclean thing should enter. Thus, the temple recommend not only serves as a safeguard for the person seeking admission to the temple, but also serves to allow those who have responsibility for guarding the gateway to the temple to discharge their duty and fulfill their covenants. A stake president or a bishop who knowingly or negligently allows someone who is unclean to enter the house of the Lord is accountable for that disobedience. Similarly, an individual seeking to gain admission to the temple who lies or withholds important information during the interview process likewise is held accountable. Thus, as this principle applies to you, a temple recommend interview allows you as an individual son or daughter of God to determine if, in fact, you are sufficiently worthy to enter the house of the Lord. Thus, once you have given full and honest answers to the interview questions and have been found by yourself and your priesthood leaders to be worthy to enter the house of the Lord, you may know that you are there in compliance with the admonition that no unclean thing should enter his house. I have always taken great comfort from the fact that even though I am not perfect and even though I make mistakes, I am living at a level satisfactory to allow me entrance to the Lord's house. That comfort is based upon the availability of the temple recommend interview. Should you receive your endowment on the day scheduled for your sealing? Kirsten, I know you've been wrestling with whether you should receive your endowment before the day you're scheduled to be sealed. I am unaware of any edict or requirement one way or the other, but in my opinion, it is preferable, where possible, to go to the temple and receive your endowment a few days before the sealing. Occasionally, I am asked whether I think a young couple should go through an endowment session on the day of their sealing, but prior to being sealed, even though they have been previously endowed. I think that is a matter of individual preference, even though I think it tends to put your mind in the proper frame to participate in the sealing ordinance. A challenge to receiving your endowment and participating in the sealing ordinance on the same day is that sometimes the exhaustion factor can make it hard to fully appreciate your experience in the temple. Just try to understand yourself, know what the advantages and disadvantages are, and then make a decision based upon your individual circumstances. Is there anything special you should do on the day you go to the temple? During our discussions, we've talked a time or two about the day you go to the temple, whether that's for your own endowment, as will be the case with Kirsten, or whether it's to participate in the sealing ordinance. Here are one or two suggestions I hope that will be helpful. 1. Try to organize your activities, time, and commitments in the days prior to going to the temple in such a way as to get quality rest and appropriate exercise so that on the day of the temple experience you will be in good physical condition. 2. Read, meditate, and study the scriptures on a regular basis. In suggesting this, I'm not so concerned about your learning new things from the scriptures as I am about refining your spirit. Reading and pondering the scriptures simply has a way of doing that. 3. Sometime shortly before you go to the temple, ask your father and mother to dedicate a family home evening to instructions on the temple, followed by a period of testimony sharing and expressions of family love. If your circumstances are such that this is not possible, then perhaps a period of time with your home teachers, your priesthood or relief society leaders, or the bishop would be helpful. 4. On the day of attending the temple, wear appropriate clothing, so that as you enter the house of the Lord, you do so as a welcome guest. Avoid immodest clothing and ostentatious jewelry. 5. Plan the activities of the temple day such that they focus on the spiritual. I realize that is extremely hard to do when you're talking about being sealed. There are many times when people come from out of town who want to express their best wishes. Sometimes there is a meal. Usually there is a reception. All too often, you are so exhausted you are unable to comprehend the significance of what you have experienced. Frequently, you become so caught up in the things of the world that it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to fully appreciate the things of God, realizing that sometimes it simply can't be done. Do everything you can to move as many social commitments off that day as possible. Often we cheat ourselves out of the greatest spiritual experiences of our lifetime by being too wrapped up in temporal things. 6. Remember that your wedding day is not a social experience with a tinge of spiritual, but rather it is a spiritual experience with a tinge of social. How many should you invite to witness your sealing? At different times during our talks, you have both raised the question of how many you should invite to go with you to the temple. I hope that by now you've had enough counsel in my letters that you can answer that question yourselves. However, just to be sure that we understand each other, let's review one or two facts. 1. The sealing ordinance is a crowning ordinance of the temple. 2. The sealing ordinance is the gateway to eternal life, that is, the kind of life God lives. 3. The sealing ordinance has been established by God for His children, and as such, it is the Lord's way. Based on the foregoing, my opinion would be that you invite those people to participate in witnessing your sealing who meet the following criteria. 1. Their relationship is so meaningful to you that it would contribute to the spiritual character of that which you're about to experience.